We try to make the shum as practical as they can be. Literally as practical as they can be. Okay, everybody. So we left off. We're holding over here tefillas, the base of a chelik base. So we're talking last week about a topic which is interesting. It's really relevant, not only in a base of, it's actually very relevant, at least in, I know the Queen schools are off coming up, and I think the Five Town schools are off next week. But with midwinter break, a lot of people take Sefer Torah with them. It's a new thing now. Everyone takes a Sefer Torah with them. It used to be not like that, but now Baruch Hashem, Klai Yisrael has more Sefer Torah than ever, and they're always on the move. So there's always a question of, can you move a Sefer Torah and not use it three times? Many people have this question. So it comes up in a Beis Avel, because in a Beis Avel that doesn't have Minyanim on Shabbos, it's almost impossible to use it three times. Shiva's only a week, it's only Monday, Thursday, so what do you have? So we left off last week, we saw Rav Moshe Feinstein. It's really an Aruch HaShochan, you know, we really should give credit where credit is due. Source number three is the Mishneh Berurah, is the Aruch HaShochan. The Aruch HaShochan writes, number three, at the end of it, he's talking about the idea of moving a Sefer Torah in a non-respectful way, and he writes at the end, he says, Avo pachas megimol pomim, if you're going to take a Sefer Torah and not read from it three times, til tulu l'tzarech arai. That's considered a movement for a temporary use, the yesh bizoin. And that's considered embarrassing to the Sefer Torah. To move a Sefer Torah and not use it at least three times, says the Aruch HaShulchan, is mevozeh. And then we saw last week from the Rebbe Vayis Ephraim, or Ephraim Greenblatt, quotes from his Rebbe, Rav Moshe Feinstein, that Rav Moshe Feinstein was makbid not to, even though Rav Moshe said it might not be really a halacha, but it's definitely a minog, that you should not move a Sefer Torah unless you're going to use it three times. I guess that gives it more of a chashivas. So yeah, no, we didn't see anyone who gave a reason why the number three. But then we quoted number five in the journal from Rav Moshe Feinstein. Number five, Noyagim bizmanenu shebuchol bayis oval oisim minyan l'chol atfilos b'chol. We now already today the minig has become that in every base oval they have minyanim umevin sefer Torah l'sham, and they bring a sefer Torah there. Avo makbidim. This is Rav Moshe Feinstein talking. But you should be careful sheyikru sham shalish kriyas. And I know there are people that do this. I know. I remember someone once called me. He said we need to have one more kriya because we got to get three times because this three times. So Rav Moshe Feinstein clearly was very pro. You should make sure to read it three times, and that's almost impossible in a Beis Avel because in a Beis Avel you only have two kriyas a Torah.
What do they do?
So some people, I think, what they do is they make a minyan on Shabbos. They make a minyan on Shabbos mincha. This way they get the third kriya, and they feel comfortable according to Rav Moshe. Now I'll show you how far Rav Moshe Feinstein took this. So we all know number six is the Sefer Misayvus Moshe, the Sefer that came out with different practices of Rav Moshe, recorded by Rabbi Tendler. So he writes that this is a story. He says, "Ubeinyan shein l'shanis makim shol Sefer Torah kavua," with regarding the idea of not moving the Sefer Torah from a permanent place. Without reading it three times. Story happened. Sheshochin shal Rabbeinu, one of Rav Moshe Feinstein's relatives, neighbors, Shagar bo'is echevik shal binyan, who lived on Rav Moshe's side of the building. Rav Moshe lived in an apartment building, so the different sides. So on his side, someone lived. Ach b'koyma l'malah, but he was a floor above Rav Moshe. Nifter. Person died. The rotzu lahashul as a sefer Torah shal Rabbeinu likro shom l'pamachas. They wanted to borrow Rav Moshe's sefer Torah to the base oval, a floor above Rav Moshe. V'heshev Rabbeinu shemutter. And Rav Moshe said, it's okay. Why? D'nechshav ki'ilu nimtza ba'oisei bayis. Rav Moshe felt that going one floor up in an apartment building is not like you're moving the Sefer Torah. Me'achar shezeh ba'oisei k'nisa. They're in the same entrance of the building. So you see, Rav Moshe Ba'etzim was against moving a Sefer Torah for if it's not going to be used for three times. But Rav Moshe held, we're on the same side of the building, right? If you ever lived in an apartment building, I lived in an apartment building for many years. So two sides, it's like almost like two different worlds. If you're not on our side, like those, we lived in an apartment building, all the frum couples lived on one side, there was one frum couple lived on the other side. They were like Chotel Machane, they were like a Mitzayra. Oh, you lived on the other side. We're talking about a distance of feet. It's all on the same roof. But Rav Moshe held, if they're on your side of the building, that's like it's one big house, so it's not considered moving it. But if you are going to move it to the other side of the building, says Rav Moshe, we're not going to move it. So he explains in the footnote that what? Rav Moshe's building, there was one entrance. There were two steps. And most buildings had, well, it depends on the size of the building, but I had a building when I used to live in Kew Gardens, so we had one building. That building had one exit out and one exit in, but there were still two stairways. And many apartment buildings have that. So Rav Moshe held, Rabbeinu Amar Raka Masha Adira Shniya Nimza Bechelik Shaloi Shalabinyan V'loi Bechelik Hashen. The reason why Rav Moshe permitted to lend out the Sefer Torah was because they were on the same side as him. They were on his side of the building. But if they'd be on the other side of the building, Rav Moshe would say, no, I can't lend it out because they're not going to read it three times. So just to show you how serious Rav Moshe took this idea of not reading it three times. Okay.
But if it was one floor above?
Right, Rav Moshe felt one floor above, we're still in the same house. It's not, I'm not like I'm moving the same, even though again, every apartment is a separate house. We all know that. Well, it got to be all other halachas. So I thought this was an interesting story from Rav Moshe that he thought that was okay. No, no. Interesting.
The Sefer Torah itself was not Kavua, but it was for landing.
So that's what I was thinking. Right? It could be that today, let's say for example, the Sifrei Torah that the Misaskim give out. So I guess they're considered Kavua where they are. I mean, in Misaskim's offices, they're Kavua. And therefore, that's considered leaving it from a Makom Kavua. Obviously, to go, let's say here, you see people do that. They take a Sefer Torah from here and they bring it to another place. So that's really the worst type of thing to do. People do that a lot. For example, in my shul, we have a minion underneath us and we have our minion. So sometimes they don't have enough Sefer Torah underneath. So they'll come to us, they'll take a Sefer Torah and they'll go laying downstairs with that. So that's assumed to be okay. But to take the Sefer Torah, you know, to your house because your family's going on vacation and you want to take a Sefer Torah with you, that already is the worst type of level.
Unless you do it three
times. Unless you read three times. Now take a look at Ibshlem Zalman Rabbah.
To take out a Sefer Torah, I'm not even sure if you asked this question. To prepare with the bar mitzvah bachur in the shul.
I've seen people do it. Yeah, I've seen people do it. I've seen people do it. I've seen a lot of people do it.
With me, but he would only use a puzzle.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I've seen in many shuls that it became a practice. I've seen by reputable rabbanim, I've seen they allowed it. So I'm assuming it must be allowed. Maybe we should go through the sugya. It's because I didn't learn about it, but I don't know. It might not be good for the balei, those who teach laning, but I've seen it be done. Yeah. So if you take a look at Ibshlem Zalman, he has a totally different spin on this. Says Ibshlem Zalman number 7, Ein letal to save a terim makom lemakom, somul chikriya satayr al das lachzir begmar kriya, like we just talked about. You shouldn't move a save a terim around kriya satayr time just for kriya. El im ke miyachil unless you have a nice place for it to stay, right? A lot of times people being Sefer Torah, they put it on tables and benches. It's not mechubad. It's not treated with respect. But this that people have a minhag to read it three times, ain't lo shum yisoid, no basis. So Rav Shlomo Zalman, again, I don't know what he does with Derech HaShulchan. Derech HaShulchan seems to be pretty clear. We read it together. But Rav Shlomo Zalman felt there is no such hakpadah. So again, if a person is going to take a Sefer Torah to a Beis Oval and he's not going to have a third Kriya, so he has Rav Shlomo Zalman to be Saimichan. Rav Shlomo Zalman says you don't have to read it three times. But according to Rav Moshe, you should really try to get a third Kriya in. Either way, in a Beis Oval, it's a little less of a problem that usually the Sefer Torah is not in a separate aura and it's usually taken care of. But again, people go on vacation, they travel, and they really should be more careful where they keep the Sefer Torah.
Something between Rav Moshe and that there one is in Israel and one's in America, and maybe there's a kedusha in Israel that he could say that.
Rav Shlomo Zalman has a famous piece. We mentioned this before. He says there's three things that are about three that are not true. This is one of them. That you have to read it three times. Mm-hmm. The other one is that you have to have fast three fasts before you by mitzvah. That's not true. And I always forget what the third one is. I don't remember what the third one is. I forgot what the third one is. I always forget it. But this is two out of three.
But nobody's disputing where it says "Ein lo yisod." We don't.
Meaning he's saying there's no basis.
Saying,
yeah, right. Ramosha also said, right? Ramosha also said, he says it's a minug. Right. He says it's not halacha. Ain't leminug zem mikor, mevur lalacha. There's no good source. Right. He says, ro lahachzik bo mishum kavarat Torah. So I guess you can argue that if I can show kavarat Torah without it being used three times, so that's sufficient also.
I mean, he says different lahachzik, which is like,
right.
Three times already.
Right. So we assume that there's a, you know, the svar of a chazaka gives it a chashivas. But again, kedai lismaicha, I guess if a person needs to, he could be saimachan and shamizam. Another thing that I want to talk about, which is very interesting, one thing you walk into a Beis Avon, you'll notice that all the mirrors are covered. And people go, really? That's like the first thing. If you've ever been in a Beis Avon, the first thing, we have to cover the mirrors. They're very like it will be one of the Gimel Ikrim to cover the mirrors. Let's talk a little bit about this and how it's connected to davening. If you take a look in the Kolbe number 8, the sefer we've been using a lot from Rabbi Greenwald, so he writes like this, number 8, Noigim lechasas hamarois beis ovel, the minig definitely is to cover all the mirrors in a Beis Avon, mikama timing. And there are many reasons. What are the reasons? First reason, marois hatzavuos goyim simcha. You look at yourself in the mirror, it makes you feel good. Okay, maybe not during Shiva when your beards grow in and go a little white. Okay, maybe you don't feel so good about yourself. But normally a person looks in the mirror, it gives them joy. V'ovel also b'simcha, and ovel's not allowed to have simcha. Now, for just without getting into it, many places can point out, for that matter, you should really take down all the pictures in the house. Right, you go to Beis Ovel, you see these beautiful pictures of the grandchildren and the grandparents. It's very beautiful pictures, but maybe those should also be taken down. No one really does it because it's probably too much of an inconvenience, but just strictly speaking, I can hear an argument that those should be taken down also. Second reason, al piroiv mispalim beis avol. Oh, says the Kol, but you know why we cover? It's nothing to do with anything. It has to do with the fact that people daven in a beis avol. Therefore what? Umbavor beber heitiv, to also lispal neged hamareh. You're not allowed to daven opposite a mirror. Shalayimu libiya humishtachaveh. So you shouldn't look like you're bowing down to yourself or to your reflection. So we talked about this once. It's actually funny. We spoke about this before COVID happened. We discussed having minyanim in your house. Then after COVID, it became a little bit more or less. So we discussed one of the issues of having a house minion is you go to these house minion, and there's, you know, there's mirrors up. No one covers the mirrors in the house minion, but in the Beis Aval, they cover it. It's contradictory. If you're going to cover the mirrors in the Beis Aval, then you should cover, at least this reason, then you should also cover the mirrors if you're going to have a minion in your house. And for that matter, maybe you should also cover some of the pictures that if you're going to have a minion in your house. That's the second reason. Now, the third reason, I'm going to read the words. I can't tell you I understand it. I mean, the first two reasons we understand, right? There, one is about Avelis, one is about davening. The third reason, I'll read the words together, but I don't really know what they mean. They say, B'shem Nechsam, Soifer, the minig zeh yisoy deb Yushalmi moit kon. This minig to cover the mirrors have to do with Yushalmi. Why? The Gemara talks about something called Kfiyas Amita. They used to bend, you know, turn over the beds, which we don't do today. And the Chassam Sofer says, "V'nei b'kviyas amita eino noigim v'akolpanim mara hatzavoish shem gam kim sirser bein ish leishtoi v'gam nir bem demus diyukan al kem mahapchin." Somehow, when you cover the mirrors, that's a fulfillment of covering the beds. Again, I don't know what that means, so I will not even attempt to understand it. But let's work with the first two reasons. Why do we cover the mirrors in the base level? So the first reason is so the other shouldn't see himself. Now, they're major nafkaminas. The first reason, you got to cover all the mirrors anywhere in the house, even in the bathroom. But if you go like the second reason, that the reason why you cover the mirrors in the house is because of davening. You don't have to cover the mirrors in the bedroom. You don't have to cover the mirrors. And I'm telling you, I've been to Beis Avel. They go wild with this. Every mirror and everything that looks like a mirror, they cover. Anything that gives off a reflection, they cover. They go really wild. Why? So they're choshish for the first reason. But if you go with the second reason, then it's only where there's going to be a minyan or when there's davening. Let's say, for example, you have a Beis Aval, which we talked about last week, where there's no minyanim. So we mentioned last week, let's say you have a Beis Aval, let's say all the women are sitting Shiva, and there's no tefillah, there's no davening. So do you still have to cover all the mirrors? So again, I'm telling you, go to any other Beis Aval, they will cover the mirrors. There's no question. But just, do you really need to? So if you look in Yakut Yosef, I was
just asking last week, and you were done with the Maharaj, the whole wall is
right.
I was wondering if it's better to not be facing.
No, definitely not. Right, 100%. Right. It would be better not to.
It would be better to be
facing. Right. So that no one's makbid on, right? People dive in wherever they can get a minion. They don't think about these things. So if you look in Yakut Yosef, I was happy to find, he writes, number 9, that's Rabbi Vajja's opinion. Rabbi Vajja held, he quotes, this is Yakut Yosef, Rabbi Vajja's son, he quotes his father, Yabi Oimer, that he goes, that's the Iker reason. The Iker reason why we cover the mirrors is because of the davening, and if there is no davening, then there is no need to cover the mirrors. Again, today, that's not what's, again, I've spoken to Gedolim, I think people, big people who told me this, like, you only have to cover the mirror if you're going to daven. But Puk Chazi, go out to any Beis Aval. Again, I don't know if it's Amaratzis or it's because we're Choshish for the other reason. But again, I think if you go with the first reason, you really should put down all the pictures also. Which, you ever been to sometimes the Beis Aval? Everyone, they go through pictures and albums and all the chasanas and the grandkids and all their accomplishments. That's not exactly what should happen at a Beis Aval. Maybe one day we'll discuss proper etiquette at a Beis Aval, but not for now. But you have to at least be consistent with the reasons. Just want to mention, I was going through Rabbi Felder. I mentioned Rabbi Gedalia Felder's Atzal Sefer. He writes a Chiddush, which we saw 2 weeks ago. On the contrary, we mentioned 2 weeks ago, let's say, for example, you have a Beis Avelim of only women, but there's a minion there. Right? There's no one sitting Shiva in the house, but there'll be a minion, which many times happens. Let's say there's only women sitting Shiva, but you bring together a minion in the house. So we saw that the Mishneh Berurah had a tzad, whether or not that's considered a Beis Aval, and you would omit Tachanu and all the other things. So Rabbi Felder writes, no. He writes, if you have a minion in the mourner's house, and they're only women mourners, you do not change anything in the davening. That's what he writes. Now the Mishneh Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan also discuss it. The Mishneh Berurah also sounds like that, actually, but Mishneh Berurah doesn't talk about women. The Mishneh Berurah talks the case if you have a base Avelim, but there's no actual Avelim. Meaning, no one's actively sitting Shiva in that house, but that's where the person died. Rabbi Felder says, no, let's say, for example, let's say the girls are sitting Shiva, and there's going to be minyanim, but the girls are not obviously part of the minyan. He says, no, then it's not treated like a base Avel, and it's a regular davening. We pointed out, we had Mar Mekremis on the last week's sources, not like that. So I thought that was just interesting to mention. But this Yakut Yosef is fascinating. According to Rabbi Vajja, if the Beis Aval has no minyanim, no need to cover the mirrors. One other thing about this, which I found also came across, I thought was a chiddush. I always thought about it, but I never had a good mahalach until I came across Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman points out, let's say, for example, you have a house where sometimes you go, there's five men sitting Shiva, right? As an example, a parent dies and they leave a bunch of older sons, right? Five, six. Sometimes you go, there's a significant amount of boys that are sitting Shiva. You ever wonder, why is there only one minion? Why don't they break off and go to, you know? So the simple answer is practicality. Usually you can't get 50 people. Usually you don't have a house big enough to break off. But it's always very practical. So I saw Shlomo Zalman actually addresses this question. He writes the number 10, Even though we pointed out that an oval on a parent davens for the yomit even during shiva, you don't have to arrange to have a minion for each one of the sons. Sometimes you have Baruch Hashem, people leave large families. The guy has 8, 9 sons. I was at a base level a while back. It must have been 8 or 9 boys sitting shiva. Each one's going to get his own minion. You're going to have 80 people show up. It's not practical. On the flip side, I was in cases where people had, let's say, yard site. I know somebody has some minig. When he has yard site, he invites his brothers to shul with him. And now 3 brothers daven in the same shul. I think that's a very bad minig. Why? Because if you have 3, they should all go to different shuls. This way, each one can be mezaka the father. I don't really mean so. We can all look at each other during davening. I don't get the purpose of this. I think you're doing a disservice to the parent. I think the more correct, I know it sounds very emotional. It sounds very nice that we're all together for the earth. Get together after davening. The more correct thing would be that if each child davens at a separate minion, they can each be mezakeh the father. I know people that daven. I know people that when they normally daven together, siblings daven together. When they have yartzeit, they go to a different shul. I think it's beautiful. This way, you're giving more schos to the parent, the mother, and the father. But if you're all going to daven together, only one person can daven for the yomid. So there's a potential of 2 people that are could be spreading schosim for the father. I think it's a disservice. So Shem Zalman points out over here, why don't we make multiple minyanim? So he writes, Sha'arei b'shulchan aruch yodeya sim shim pei dal tziv gimel. We quoted this mechaber. The mechaber writes in Yodeya that the Mechaber writes in Yerodea that if there's no one else who could daven for the Yomid, then the Oval leads the services. So we pointed out, it sounds like from that L'chadchila, the Oval does not lead the services. However, if you go to any base Oval, you'll see that always the Oval leads the services. What's the pshat? U'mashim d'l'chadchila lo yeshat. It sounds like the L'chadchila and Oval should not daven for the Yomid. We pointed this out from other achrayim, like the kids of Shulchan Aruch, that was talking about on a relative, not a parent. On a parent, the Ovel davens the first 7 days also, and then he davens the next 11 months also. It's better that a child daven during Shiva. More schosim for the parent. That's what everyone does. We don't have to go wild and have a break of minyan for each one of the people sitting Shiva. Now you can have 5 brothers sitting Shiva, you're not going to make 5 minyanim. Either because practically or because logistically, whatever the reason is, Rav Shlomo Zalman is giving us, you know, a heter, and I haven't heard of anyone that ever does this, but that's the only time we don't make break of minyan. But again, for a yard site, I definitely would suggest that siblings should not daven in the same shul for a yard site. I think they're doing a disservice to their parent. Okay.
This came up also. It was just a shoot from Hit Response. Does the Avil get an aliyah? Is there an
Indian? Oh, we're going to talk about that. No, definitely not.
Okay.
Definitely does not get an aliyah. We'll get to that on page 2.
One, right.
Yeah, yeah. No. Definitely right. The Avil should definitely not get an aliyah. The only time the Avil should get an aliyah, would get an aliyah, is if maybe he's the only kohen and it's Shabbos. We'll see. Believe that. We'll get to that in 2 seconds. So let's talk about another halacha that comes up in the base Avil. Number 11, the Ber Agoyla. He says, "Very easy. Po lekihilas kodesh svardim min hagim acherim binyan atfila." They say evening time, lefnei tefilas arvus before ma'ariv, ube boiker achar tefilah, and after shacharis mizmor mem tes b'tehillim. This I'm sure everyone remembers. If you go to Beis Avol, at the conclusion of davening, they recite capital mem tes in the tehillim. With tzidik hadin achar kol tefilu tefilah. Sounds like you're supposed to do it after every tefillah. So most people, that ends up becoming a nusach Ashkenaz, nusach Sfar. Everyone does it after Shacharis, and some people do it after Mincha, and some people do it after Ma'ariv. Again, this probably has to do with the fact, we spoke about this a while ago, people don't like saying Tehillim at night, which is why nusach Sfar says L'dovid after Mincha, and not after Ma'ariv. So this is probably also somehow related, because it's Amir's Tehillim, and people don't like, but this minig is brought down over here in the Ber HaGoyla. If you take a look in the Geshe Rechaim on page 2, and Michal Chikachinsky points out, during the 6 days of the week, we say after davening, capital Memtes. Many places say it only after Shachris and Mayr, v'loy achat filas mincha, and not after mincha. So he explains, yitochin, sheminigzel lakech mehasvardim hanoigim lespal arvis miyad acha mincha. He says a different reason. He says, you know why they start doing by Mayr? Because if you're going to daven mincha and Mayr back to back, then there's really no reason to do it after mincha. It's a sandwich, you do it after Mayr. Here's an interesting shaila. What happens if you're diving in a Beis Avol on a day when there's no tachanun? Right? So again, you don't say tachanun anyway in a Beis Avol. But let's say it's a day that there's no tachanun, which means it's a day of some form of kedusha. Let's say, for example, Rosh Chodesh. Now we're getting closer. Tu B'Av, right? Tu B'Av is a day we don't say tachanun. Writes the Geshe Rechaim, Rosh Chodesh v'chanukah, u'shar yom she'en oim tachanun, ein oimim mizmar zeh. Then we don't say this kapitel. So that's something we should remember. If you're davening in a Beis Avol on a day when there's no tachanun, we omit that capital. But the noigim poil loimer oz mizmor tezayin. Many people have a practice. Not everyone has this practice. Many people have a practice. It's they instead of saying kapitel mantes, they say kapitel tezayin. I don't know exactly what the difference is, but that's what they do. However, Shabbos chol hamoed Purim, then you don't even say tezayin. So let's, for example, you're davening at a beis aval on Purim or Shabbos again. Most of us don't daven at a beis aval on Shabbos because usually the aval comes to shul. There's a big shail. I had an aval on my shul a few Shabbosim ago. So there's a big shail. It's not nagiyah or sugya, but I'm going to mention it. Whether or not an oval is mishanim mokim on Shabbos also. When an oval comes to shul, he's supposed to move his seat during the week. He moves it dalet amos. What about on Shabbos? What about Shabbos? Why? Because if he's going to move his seat, it's going to be avelus b'fa hesya. So the truth is, this fellow was a yekka. His parents were both yekkis. He was a real... So I told him, a yekki like you should do it. Why? Because that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah writes, even on Shabbos, you do it, and Rav Moshe Feinstein writes the same thing. But chassidim don't, because the Arizal was against it. The Arizal held on Shabbos, you don't do it. So in our shul, we have a lot of menhagim that are more chassidish slanted, so in our shul, we don't. But I told him, you should still do it, because you're a yekki. You should follow what it says in Ramah. So he told me he'll do it. I said, good, you should do it. No one has to know. No one knows the difference where everyone sits today. But Lamaisa, it's based on the Ari. But the ma'isa Ashkenazim shetaka be mishana mok, and during the week.
For the whole year, the rabbi.
Yeah, it's the whole. Yeah.
By the rabbi.
Yeah.
He does tell people to sing.
Even Shabbos also.
Yeah. I mean, it's only Shabbos when we see most of them.
Right. Exactly. Usually it's not so negated during the week. Right.
You see them because unfortunately we have whatever a lot, but he doesn't tell you to go from left field to shortstop. You know what I mean?
Yes.
He
moves you. Dalaramas. All you have to move is Dalaramas. Yeah, which again, a lot of times you end up anyways. If there's a gap, you know, you shift around anyway. So that's why it's not a terrible thing to do. But for Lutvish, it's more of a zach. Okay. So Zok de Gesher Achayim, we don't say this kapitel if it is a day where there's no tachma. Now, another interesting practice that I'm sure, again, all the stuff you've seen, but now you're seeing it in print. The Gesher Chaim writes, Noigim Lamid Kol Shiva Beis Ovel Mishnayis L'Nishmas HaManoach. The practice is that we learn Mishnayis in the Beis Ovel for the person who dies during the whole week. Prakim HaMaschilim Bo'isiyas Shem HaManoach. We use Prakim that starts the name of the deceased. Kigoyin Imnikra Avram. He goes very lengthy over here. Like, we'd get the idea. He gives you examples. Let's say the guy's name is Avram. Lo'imdim T'chila Perak HaMaschil Bo'is Aleph Kigoyin Perak Hei Debrachas Einayimdim Laspal. Right, so you got to find the perek that starts off with an aleph. So that's the fifth perek of bracha. Akach loim the perek amaschol is base. Then you got to find the perek that starts with the letter base. You're going perek de Shabbos b'mebehem yotzer. I tell everyone a secret. If you want, and if you ever get stuck, I just had a yard site for my wife's grandmother a few weeks ago, and I got stuck with one of the letters of her name, and I had to find the perek that starts with it. There's a website today that does it for you. Mm-hmm. So you can plug it in. They'll tell you, I'll give you a whole list of prakim with everyone's name. You don't have to know all of Mishnayis. The Gesher HaChaim Taka knew all the Mishnayis. Today you can plug it into a website. They'll give you all the prakim that you need to know. So here he gives you some. So if you want to remember them for the future, he gives you a bunch over here. He says, if you need a letter, you need a letter Aleph, so you got the fifth perek in Brachas. You need a Beis, fifth perek in Shabbos. Then he continues, you need a Reish, Beblos Demila, that we know. Then we have, you need a hay, so you go to Hayukari B'Tayra. Then he gives you mamas, it's very cute. Gives you a whole list of letters over here. And then he writes.
Two letters of the same letter.
You do the same one again?
Yeah.
Do it again? Yeah. Then he writes, V'achach limra perik, and after you learn that, loimdim dal l'mishnayis b'mikvayis. So a lot of people skip the first part. And they just do the mikvois part, probably because of Tichud Tzibura. But here he writes, you really shouldn't do that. But he says you do four mishnayis and mikvois. Now I'll tell you, if you are officiating or a rabbi in a beis aval and they ask you to read mikvois, wow, that was not a fun experience. I picked up the mishnayis, I said, okay, I can wing this. And then I realized I really can't wing mikvois. But we winged it enough to get by in a beis aval. But you learn mishnah dalet, hey, vav, zayin. Again, Ms. Askim today makes our life a lot easier. They give you all of this stuff. They give you the mishnayis. They give you with pictures. They give you with translation. They make it a lot easier. And then you say a kaddish drabbanan.
And that learning is okay, even though it brings simcha to the oval? Ah,
so that's very interesting. So pashtus is the oval, just like spaces out during that time. I say everyone else is spacing out also.
You get to be close, it's
yeah, but here's where things get interesting. Rabbi say says the Gesher Chaim the Avo Pisha Oval Einu Lomer Amishnayis Ki Hu Asa B'Divrei Torah Mikom Akim Noyig Lomer Hakadosh Rabban. Says the Gesher Chaim the Oval says the Kadosh Rabban. Now there's a problem over here. Why? Because the Oval's not allowed to learn Torah. I was once at a base Oval. The Oval gave the Mishnayis here. I'm like, that does not sound right. Granted, the guy was a rough, so I didn't want to argue with him, but I didn't think that was right. And Ovel's not allowed to learn Torah. So
there's nobody else I could do it.
I guess. I was there. You could have asked me that. I guess McVoice, I didn't know McVoice either.
I guess he figured
I didn't know McVoice.
He knew already, right?
But I thought that was strange. But the Gesher Chaim writes, that's the practice. And this is, again, this is all things you've seen, that the Ovel is the one who says the Kaddish. Then he concludes, Im ein lehem mishnayis ma'oisen haprakim shol shmoy, oishim eze siba kosho lehem lulma roisem haprakim, yichoyim lulma mishnayis acheres. I tried this once. If you can't get McVoice to go, just learn any mishnayis. Of anything, just Mishnayis. Why? So someone once asked me, he wanted to give like a halacha shiur in a beis aval. I said, nope. That's not the thing. It's not a time for halacha shiurim. Mishnayis has a special kayak because Mishnah is neshama. Okay, stick with the Mishnayis. Ki kulam misugolim liyelius neshama. B'Shabbos u'be'erev Shabbos achaminuchah einoygil mulah perikem Mishnayis misarach Hashem. So if you have a shag again.
By the way, they always do
Mishnah
because of
Nishama. Yeah, sure. That's the reason. So if you ever are at a base oval on a Friday, Erev Shabbos after it's always going to be after Chatzos because you can't have Mincha before then, no Mishnahs. Then he concludes, Ruba.
The Scabble Rabbi, that you say by Ethra, Yishmael, Omer, and by Ankel, that's fine for the oval to say. It's still you saying because it's the Rei Torah.
Right. That's always the question. Is it considered part of the Nusach HaTzil? But this is really just an extra learning. We'll come back to this. So he writes over here, Ruba, Noigim, Loma, and Mishnahs, and Mincha, and Mayrev. Most people learn the Mishnahs between Mincha and Mayrev, Bechol Yoim, Loim, the Perak, Echol, Echatzi, Perak. Vyesh, Noigim, Loma, Gamba, Berk. Did anyone ever see that? Mishnahs in the morning?
Nobody's around.
No, everyone's running out to work. No one wants to stick around. But he writes, there is some people, and again, it makes sense, because again, Mishnayis is good for the neshama, so as much as you can get it in. But again, we have to understand, people are rushing, people have jobs, people have to go places. Okay, so if you look over in number 14, the Sefer Evan Yaakov. The Evan Yaakov is written by the Tzitz Eliezer Waldenberg, and he has a Gavalda Ki Ha'ara. He points out the following. He says, V'hu ha'minig hu shloi sha'achem loim d'beis avil, v'choishim zel uschus nishmasek, v'shikasav aruch ha'shulchan, el da'achri ha'limir omer ha'ovel kaddish d'rabon. He says the minig is, like the Geshra Chaim told us, that the avil is the one who says the kaddish after the mishnais. He says, v'dov zel tzarachin, d'ari ha'ovel ein loim in a mishnais. The avil doesn't learn the mishnais. V'gam asr loi lahazin. He's not even allowed to listen. So if you see the oval on his phone, he probably shouldn't be on his phone anyways during Shiva, but if you see him spacing out, so that it's not because he doesn't want to listen to the shir. He's not allowed to listen to the shir. He's not allowed to learn Torah.
Should he walk out of the room?
I guess he could. Maybe it's even better. So we'll see what the Tzitz Eliezer himself did when he was an oval. He says, V'chol shloi lo amad v'lo hezen eich v'al ma omra kadosh rabon. He said, how can you say a kadosh rabon? That's why you got to be careful. If a person is an avelus and he's like between Mincha and Mayrev and the rabbi speaks and he gets up and says the Kaddish afterwards, you better listen to the rabbi's speech. Because if you were not listening, you can't just say Kaddish Rabban is not just a declaration that you're making. It's Kaddish on Torah. But if you didn't learn the Torah, you have no right. So let's say the Ovel goes out for the rabbi's speech and comes right back in for the Kaddish. That's wrong. That's a wrong thing to do. Says the Tzitz Eliezer. So how does the Ovel say the Kaddish Rabban? The Ovel's not allowed to learn Torah. It's a great kasha. So he says, "Omnam yeshlam shloim etachtikim b'derech klal b'zeh." There are people who don't care. V'chol shenichnasim ayin nimtzom bebeisak neses v'roim shergoyim ezelimim. Right by the svarim, it's a very big thing. After they finish every shir, they have a kaddish. So you have a guy who strolls off the street. The shir's over. He says a kaddish. What are you saying kaddish on? You don't learn anything. So it says Eliezer. People do that all the time. I had this once. I was giving a shir, and after the shir, a guy walks in and he says, "I want to say a kaddish." I said, "Okay, on what?" You didn't. You weren't part of the learning. You weren't part of that. You want to say, I want a lot of things.
But doesn't you just sing one pasuk anyway?
Yeah, then you'd have to have him learn something, and then he could say it. Right. He'd have to learn something, and then he could do it. So he writes over here.
So basically, there's really no reason to ever say Reb Hananya ben Akasha, because if you just finished learning it, why do they always say that?
Yeah, I don't know why they say that pasuk. If you ready,
that's good for the guy who comes.
And that's for the guy who just shows up for that. But yeah, that's his learning.
Saying, but other than that, you just
pasuk.
Now, what is the saying a Kaddish after you learn something?
No, Kaddish Rabbana was connected to
so
somehow.
Why do we have after every Shir and Yeshiva?
I'm saying the Svarim can do it.
Really?
Yeah, sure. By me, I have a building with Svarim. After they have a Gemara Shir, they say it. Mm-hmm. Every morning after they have a Shir, they do it. Okay. I don't know what they do in Svarim Yeshivas. After first Seder, they have it. I don't know. I don't know how they do it in the Yeshivas, but I've seen it after Shir, they can do it. So the fact that it says Eliezer, what's going on over here? He says, good, I don't understand how you do it during the year, and I don't understand how you do it in the Beis Avel. He writes, V'kvar hitriya al kach b'seva shemen amor al arachayim, al zeh, shiro b'chomokim shenoigim oilam she'echad lo yimei v'ovel oimei kadosh zeh, av pishol ilam v'lishoma, v'zeh ein enoch, it's not right. Good kasha. What's the terrors? I don't know, but it's a good kasha. So the Tzitz Eliezer writes something amazing. He writes, V'anoichi b'mei evolusi lo yaleni. He says, what did I do when I was an oval, says the Tzitz Eliezer? Nehakti ba'atzmi ta'achere limer ha'mishnayis, shalom do acherim. He says, after the mishnayis, that someone else learned, to b'mokoyim, he pulled a shtick over here. He said to himself, I'm allowed to learn some stuff. I'm not allowed to learn mikvois, but I'm allowed to learn moid katan. The Gemara over there says, "Altichbu lemeis v'altenaduloi, altichbu lemeis yoisim midav v'altenadul yoisim mikashir." Okay, so shlosh yom lebechi v'shivul hespe. Right, the Gemara over there, Moed Katan, lays out the rules how much he's supposed to mourn. So Zok to Tzitz Eliezer, he learned that. Bekan ve'elcham akolish baruch yate rachamun b'yoisim meni v'amati kalish rabban. So the truth is, I guess an Ovel can also like learn Hilchas Avelos. Right, he can learn Shulchan Aruch. Right, he'll pull out the book and read what it says, then he can say the Kaddish, because that's he's allowed to learn. But if he just listens to Mishnayis and Mikvois, that's wrong. Interesting chap from the Tzitz Eliezer. Okay, let's keep moving over.
What's the reason, I know you said, why do we do Dafka Mikvois other than
I don't know why Dafka Mikvois. That I don't know. Not sure. So let's talk about David's.
I was just thinking of a svara. Maybe just to think it has to do kedusha and tara that this should bring us the ultimate gula. Maybe I don't know.
Anything. It's possible. I don't know. I partially don't know. It's a good question. Let's talk about aliyas and a oval. Right, again, a lot of times you're in a base level, there's Kriyas HaTorah, and there's really no leadership, what's right and what's wrong. So you take a look at number 16, the Mechaber writes in Yerodeah, in my oval coin, let's say the oval's a coin, the aim be basic Kness is coin, there's no other coin, Osir loy la lois likris b'Torah, he may not be called up to read the Torah, or again, Aliyah to be the Valkyrie. Comes along.
So this base Knesset is referring to after Shiva?
No. This is referring to Shiva. This is doing Shiva. Either a Shiva house or he comes to Shul, like we spoke about last week. Comes along the Shach number 17. He's got a problem. Frek the Shach, Tema. The Besimin Tov. If you go a couple Simonim later, in Simon Tov, there it says, Simon Tov is Hilchus Avelas on Shabbos. Different playing field. Tov, it says that the Im ain't Sham Kayin Akiv. There's no other Kayin Elohu, Mutal Kreisoi. That the Ovel is the only Kayin in the Shul. You're allowed to call him up. So Frek Teshach here told me that even if there's no other kohen, you can't call him up. What's the answer? Shabbos is going to be different. Says Teshach, the kam loikos of klum at kam loshayni v'loi koshim. Says Teshach is not a kasha. The hocha time of the isur, the ovel loss of the divrei Torah, ovel is not allowed in Torah. Umedin avei lus b'Shabbos loy mer. We're not talking about Shabbos. We're talking about on a Tuesday, on a Monday. So if you're in a base ovel on Monday and the only kohen is an ovel, don't call him up. Avol, hasam de mari b'chol asim ben medin iser avelus b'Shabbos koma de motalalis. Simin Tov is talking about Shabbos. Mishum dem loikin have that desbe for hesya. If he's the only kohen in shul and you don't call him up, everyone's like, oh yeah, that's because he's in shiv.
So if he goes to a Shabbos here all the time.
And I have the child also, right.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden he's conspicuously absent.
So that Talmud Torah might be considered dvar mishabitzina, which you might not even allow to do at home. So I told the guy, he comes like the Chumash, I told him, if you always come a few minutes before davening, you catch the end of the shir, right. So you can do the same thing, you come to the end of the davening. If you go, don't come to the davening, you and things like that. So this is an important halach. According to the Shach,
is that even on Shabbos?
Yeah, it's even on Shabbos.
Why? I thought if there's no avails be Shabbos.
But he's not allowed to learn Talmud, he's not allowed to learn Torah anyway. Forget the husband, he's not allowed to learn Torah even in his house. Torah is also to an avail, even Betzinah. That's also. So according to the Shach, it comes out like this, that what? On a Monday, you can't give an aliyah. On Shabbos, if he's the only kohen again, you could give him an aliyah. Now, if you look in the Taz over here, interesting. The Taz writes, "V'nira pashat she'ovel mutal l'shtamish b'tashmishi ha'teira." Then ovel can do other parts of the laning. Kegoin, galila, kiyitzba. You can give him galila, give him hagba if he's got the energy. You can give him psicha. Why? The kriya luchod also loy. He's not allowed to read. Meshum d'chsev m'samchilev. V'chenrisi b'hagosh is alushoyne harav. Reb Chaim ayu ovel b'zman sheni v'chamishi. Reb Chaim was an ovel. V'spalu slichus etzla. They said slichus by him v'kar b'teira. For who are you going to save a Torah? And he was the one who got Kalila. So the Taz is showing us that it's okay for an Oval to do other things besides for just the Kriya and the Aliyah. Whereas if you, because the only reason why he can't get an Aliyah is because he's not allowed to learn Torah. But Kalila is now, you know, it's not really part of, it's not really part of laning, it's not Torah, so he can get that. So if you look in the Geshur Chaim, he says the same thing. You can give the Ovel all the other things. I guess it comes up, let's say, for example, let's say the Ovel Nebuch, his wife is expecting in the ninth month. So people are very machbid that the guy gets psicha. So he doesn't want to lose out on a psicha. So the answer is he can get psicha. He can give him psicha. It's not a problem. But I found something interesting. I don't have a good answer. In the Sefer Oil Yaakov, he quotes from Rav Moshe. And the same psak is quoted by Rabbi Felder, that what? Ein roi lechaber ovel im hagbo v'glila achar kriyas haTorah. Rav Moshe said not to give him. It's mamish against everything we just read. I don't have a good answer. I really should call up Rabbi Felder's son and ask him where his father. He said he heard it from Rav Moshe. But where? Oil Yaakov is a sefer called Rabbi fellow Nertz Rabbi Skatchless, a big time chacham. He quotes these psakim from Rav Moshe, which I have Rabbi Felder's book in English. I don't like putting English on Ashid, so I found the Hebrew version of it, but it's the same psak. Rabbi Felder quotes the B'Shem Rav Moshe. He quotes the B'Shem Rav Moshe, that Rav Moshe ought not to give Hagba Galila, I guess, psicha to an Avel, and it seems to be against everything we read. I don't have a good answer.
I'm sorry, Avel means 7 days?
Yeah. We're talking about doing Shiva, yeah. Then if you look in the Kolba, he has an interesting Shaila, right? A Bakari can appreciate this. Let's say Nebuch, the only person that can read in the base Avel is the Avel. And it's this, there's no Kriyas HaTorah. So the Kolbe writes, Oval in oil the Torah, he shouldn't go up to the Torah. Ubimokim shekulam aveilim ayroiv mehaminyan aveilim. What happens if that's the whole minyan? So then pshita sheyikru gam aveilim v'lo yivat lo mikriyas haTorah. You're not going to cancel kriyas haTorah because everyone's oval. Haloi legara mibal kairi sheti ubimokim sheinach. It'll be chiddish. He says, if you're not going to have any aliyahs to give out, you're also allowed to give the oval and aliyah. Just like if we're not going to have an oval read, we're going to cancel it. If we're not going to give it aliyahs, we're also going to cancel. So again, interesting. Then he writes, he says, Avo pshita shim leka bab kairi acher, cholil levatal mikriyas ha-teir, pshita shim mutter. Same thing, let's say the oval is only one knows that a lane, he will also get the right to lane. If you take a look over here, number page 3, the Sefer Pnei Baruch, that's the very famous Sefer now that I think Masasim gives out in English. This is the Hebrew version of the similar Sefer. So he writes, I think that guy's last name is Goldberg. I think his last name is Goldberg, if I'm not mistaken. So he writes over here, Oymim Yehirotz and Acha Kriyas HaTorah. He says, this is a question. Let's say you go to Beis Aval on Monday and Thursday. So we know there's no Tachanun. What about Yehirotz? So we always are used to that Yehirotz and after it's connected. So here he writes, you still say it. You do say the Yehirotz and afterwards. However, I saw Rabbi Felder writes, you do not. So I don't know what the accepted practice is, but I guess you can go either way. Then he quotes over here from another psak.
How about before Kriyas HaTorah, if Monday and Thursday you say Kalar, you know, the two paragraphs?
No, we don't say Kalar. No, that we saw already last week, you don't say. We don't say that, we skip, yeah. So if you take a look over in the early Yaakov, he quotes another psak from Moshe, which Rabbi Felder writes as well. That what? Let's say you're in a base oval and they daven Nusach Sfas, so they say Sher HaMalas. So he says, you say Sher HaMalas also in a base oval. I don't know why you would think otherwise, but he says that in the base oval you do say Sher HaMalas if you daven Nusach Sfar. Okay, the last couple of Mar Mekoymus on the page talk about an oval, a base oval on Kiddush Levana. Let's say you go to a base oval for Mayruf. Question is, can the oval say Kiddush Levana? Do the people in the base oval say Kiddush Levana? So the simple answer is it might depend where you're holding in the month. Obviously, this time of the year, it's not an issue because there's no Kiddush Levana. But what happens if you go to a base oval in the beginning of the month and you're nervous, especially now in the winter, you're always afraid you're going to lose it. So you tell everyone, let's do Kiddush Levana. So is that right, A? And B, what does the oval do? He just sits there, he comes, he goes. What happens? So if you look at the Mishnah Berurah number 24, this Mishnah Berurah is in Hilchos Tisha B'Av. The Mishnah Berurah writes, "Ulinyan oval emas mekadosh." When does an oval do kiddush levana? So Mishnah Berurah says, "Dasa magen Avram dim yashlam avei losa kaidem asiru b'chodesh." If he's going to finish his aveilos before the 10th, so then yamtiv yikadosh b'lo asiru. He should wait till his aveilos is over and do it after the shiva. Avlam kola avei losa b'asiru b'chodesh. But let's say his aveilos finishes on before the 10th or on the 10th, then lo yamtin, don't wait. Ad leil acher osur, until the night of the 11th. Umutov sheikadosh alavona betoichim me'avilosay. And he should just be mekadosh during the avelos. Now, the problem is, we always assume that you're not supposed to do kiddush levana during avelos, but that's why we don't do kiddush levana during the 9 days. But here the Mishnah Berurah says, if he's going to lose it, he should do it. V'daz baal shar Ephraim, the shar Ephraim says, dim yeshos sekadosh acher kalosim me'avilosay, yamtin. If there's any time to finish, which means let's say the guy's avelos is over on the 12th, the 13th. Mishnah Berurah said 10. Mishabu wants to give you at least 4 days to get Kiddush Levana in. The Shafraim says no. Any day. The guy finishes Avelos on the 11th, the 12th, let him wait and do it after his Avelos is over. V'yocholot is chutz, and he can even go outside, but he can't, he says. But if he needs to be Mekadosh during the Avelos, he's allowed to go outside, even though normally an Oval doesn't leave his house. He's not supposed to. But to do Kiddush Levana, he's allowed to go outside the house to do Kiddush Levana. If you look in the Bishlam Mazam and Orbach, number 25, he writes, Motel Oval Toich Shiva Loimer B'Kiddush Levana Shalom Aleichem. Oh, what about the Shalom Aleichem? Now again, just for the record, that part is not the actual mitzvah of Kiddush Levana. The actual part of mitzvah is the actual brach. Everything else is all extra credit. It's nice. But the ikur of Kiddush Levana is the brach of Baruch Atah Hashem Mechadesh Chadashim. That's the ikur of Kiddush Levana. But the Reb Shem Zalman brings up a point. How does he say Shalom Aleichem? And Ovel's not allowed to say Shalom. Shalom Aleichem is a greeting. So Reb Shem Zalman says, no, it's okay. Motel Ovel Toich Shiva Leim B'Kiddush Levana Shalom Aleichem. Lo Eimdim Sivivir, those that are around him. But he says, no. The oval could say, but you can't say it back to him for the entire 11 months. Or 12 months. Right? 12 months, right? So go to Rosh Hashanah, if you have a guy in your shul who's an oval, and he's sitting next to you by Kiddush Levana, go to a different guy. And then in the bottom he says, maybe it's really not such a bad thing. It's not really She'ela Shalom. This is really just, and this is not really, I'm not really asking how you're doing, bro. We're going through the ceremonies over here. Exactly. Right. Which what many parties can say, saying good morning is really not She'ela Shalom. I'm really asking how things are going. I'm not really asking you about Kiddush Levana how things are going. I'm just doing this so we can all go home and get out of the cult. So Shalom Zaman is somewhat more makel. He doesn't think it's such a problem. If you take a look over here in the last footnote, and let's say the Kolbe, number 26, he writes, he says, Im efshar the kaddish bebeisoy lo yikaddish im chaburus anoshim. So the Mishnah Berurah says that if an oval needs to do kiddush levana, he can go outside and do it. Here, the Kolbe says, don't do it in a group. Raki kaddish bi yichidi. Go out and do it by yourself. Ad acha shekola regal manashuk. When it's quiet. I mean, don't go out with 25 people. Go out more quietly. Ve lo yoyim hasham aleichem. You should not say Shalom Aleichem kivah she'ovel osur b'she'el Shalom, unlike Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Now the last halacha, which is really more of a general halacha, number 27, ein oimrim shmua va'agod b'beis ovel. person shouldn't say over Torah and other things in a Beis Avol. Elo yoyishvim v'doimim. We can give a lot of shurim, and maybe we should, about proper etiquette in a Beis Avol. I still cringe when I go to many Beis Avelim and they turn into Mamish Tuesday at the beach, and it's really not right. It's not good for the mace. It's not good for the people. We should really try to keep in mind that a Beis Avol is supposed to be a serious place. Yoyishvim v'doimim should be serious. I was once at a Beis Avol by a Rebbe of mine, and the conversation was getting a little off topic. He said, no, let's bring it back to talk about the... He Mamish changed. It was the first time I ever saw such a thing. He might change the conversation, talk about the person who died. That's what Allah is. That's what it's supposed to be about. Say, Shulchan Aruch writes of it, just remember, when you go to Beis Avol, even if you're just going to daven, this should be a certain etiquette and proper behavior at a Beis Avol as well. Okay. There is more to talk about over here in the sugya of Beis